Good morning and Happy New Year. So did you actually stay up and watch the New Year come in? Yeah, we were watching a movie. Kite Runner was the name of the movie, and we didn't even know it happened. And finally, we looked about 15 minutes afterwards and, oh yeah, Happy New Year. That's right. So 2018 has come. So what do you hope to accomplish in 2018? Okay, you going to do some sports in 2018? Any soccer playing? No soccer. How about basketball? Ah, some basketball playing. Football? No. Lacrosse? No. Hockey? No. Frisbee? No. No frisbee? Okay, all right. All right, so we're going to do some sports in 2018. Anything else? We have a basketball game. You don't have a basketball game? She does. I see. I got it. Well, let's see. So in 2018, though, you're also going to switch grades, right? Right? So you're going to finish this year of school, and then Olivia, you're going into what grade?
Mommy's class.
Oh, my land. You'll be in your mama's class. Okay. And how about you, Jacob? Sixth grade. Now, you're actually in middle school now, but that's sort of more middle school, right? Sixth grade, sort of in the middle of middle school. Yeah. All right. So that's going to happen in 2018. Well, let's see. So whether you're in the grade you're in or whether you're in the next grade or the next grade after that, I just wanted to remind us this morning that God is with us each step of the way. We're hoping that you don't have to do sixth grade twice, Jacob. What do you think? Yeah, he hopes that too. Yeah, that's right. It's sixth grade one time would be enough. And then you move on from there. And milestones are important. So we've got a birthday here today. Did you know who was having a birthday today? Anthony's having a birthday today. Anybody got a birthday coming up soon? When is yours? Oh, yeah, April. It'll be here. That's right. You share the same day with Corrine for birthdays, right? Well, on this day, on 2018, January 7th, I just want us to remember that God is with us on every birthday, on every time we switch grades, on every basketball game. Wherever we are, God is with us in all things. And we get to give Him praise today. Let's do that. What a privilege, Lord, to know that You are with us in all seasons of our life. And for Olivia and Jacob this morning, we thank You that this season puts them right here at Philippi Baptist Church. We are so thankful that they are part of this church family, and allow them to know of Your presence and Your love as they enter into this new year. We love You, Lord. In Your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
God is with us and He takes care of us. Yeah. And He invites us to His table. What a privilege that is. We're going to sing our preparation hymn. You probably don't need to look at it. We've sung it so many times. It's Come to the Table. Let's stand as we sing this hymn. Mm-hmm.
Come to the table of mercy, prepared with the wine and the bread. All who are hungry and thirsty, come and your souls will be fed. Come at the Lord's invitation, receive from His nail-scarred hand. Of the bread of salvation, drink of the blood of the Lamb.
You may be seated.
The Apostle Paul leaves these words with the early church at Corinth, and also the words that we get to hear today. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death and resurrection until he comes. Our privilege is, even as we have our bread or the gluten-free wafers, the opportunity to know that we are invited to the Lord's table. The invitation is given not because we have arrived on our own, but because, in fact, he has made provision for us. We would ask if Sarah would have the prayer for our bread this morning.
Dear Heavenly Father, this is the beginning of a new year, and we stand before you individually as your people and as your church. We ask, Father, that you would forgive us for our sins. We ask, Father, that you would give us wisdom and lead us into this year. We ask that you would help us to please give us teachable spirits, and in our thought and words and deeds, help us to reflect your love. Help us to trust you completely in the year ahead. Thank you for our blessings. Strengthen us through our trials. We pray that we would cherish you and appreciate you more and more every day. And we thank you for the great sacrifice that you made to show your love to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Where Christ is allowed to come, the balm of Gilead of the Christian faith cleanses our society and leaves it as pure as snow. John comes announcing a baptism of repentance. The Jew was familiar with ritual washings. A Gentile, though, when they would come, was necessarily unclean, for he or she had never kept any part of the Jewish law. Therefore, when a Gentile became a proselyte, a convert to the Jewish faith, he had to undergo a baptism, an opportunity in which to be cleansed. The Jew knew baptism, but the amazing thing about John's baptism was that he, a Jew, was asking Jews to submit to that which only a Gentile was supposed to need. John had made the tremendous discovery that to be a Jew in the racial sense was not to be a member of God's chosen people. A Jew might be in exactly the same position as a Gentile. Not the Jewish life, but the cleansed life belonged to God. The baptism was accompanied by confession. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare, and his temple all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. The darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Jesus' ultimate sacrifice was his own life. May we eat in remembrance of his. After being at the Passover meal, having already passed the cup in recognition of their freedom from the time of slavery many years before, Jesus took the cup one more time, and he says, "I now present to you a new covenant, a new agreement, and it will be, in fact, sealed with my blood." We'd ask Brother Gerald if he would have a prayer for the cup today.
Oh God, we ask your blessing on this table, on our fellowship as we gather around it, and on all those who call upon the name of the Lord. Be with us as we go into the new year. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and help that Spirit cause us to want to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Jesus knew that when John emerged on the scene of history, that his moment of decision had come. Nazareth was a peaceful place, a home that he had cherished for years, but he answered the summons and the challenge presented to him by his heavenly Father. It was the moment of identification. Jesus did not need to repent from sin, but here was a movement of the people back to God. And with that Godward movement, Jesus was determined to identify himself. A man might himself possess ease and comfort and wealth and still identify himself with a movement to bring better things to the downtrodden and the poor and the ill-housed and the overworked and the underpaid. The really great identification is when a man identifies himself with a movement, not for his own sake, but for the sake of others. Jesus' baptism was a moment of approval. No man lightly leaves his home and sets out on an unknown way. He must be very sure that he's right. Jesus had decided on his course of action, and now he was looking for the seal of the approval of God. In the time of Jesus, the Jews spoke of what they called Bath, which means the daughter of a voice. By this time, they believed in a series of heavens, in the highest of which sat God, in the light to which no man could approach. There were rare times when the heavens opened and God spoke, but to them, God was so distant that it was only the faraway echo of his voice that they heard. To Jesus, the voice came directly. May we hear that voice even today. Thank you. His blood was shed for us. May we drink in remembrance of him. Thank you very much. It was an inauguration of sorts. It was the opportunity in which Jesus would come and set things in motion for all of eternity to be changed. John the Baptizer was already in place. He was out in the Jordan River and he was asking people to do things not just set aside for one particular race, the Gentiles. Anybody that was non-Jewish. John had this idea that God was calling all of his children to step before God's throne and to be in a place of repentance. So when Jesus shows up on the scene, this is where we see in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, starting in verse 4, that Jesus' baptism was accompanied by confession. In any return to God, confession must be made to three different people. John the Baptist was speaking very clearly into the lives of those that were gathered around him. He said it in no uncertain terms, that baptism is not something just delegated to the non-Jews. In verse 4, this is how the Gospel of Mark puts it. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John had the audacity to say, none of us are exempt from this category. We all find ourselves in a place of being sinners. And that there is an opportunity for each one to acknowledge that, to confess, and to repent. Now, in this confession, there seems to be three people that we need to make sure confession is a part of. We need to make sure we confess to ourselves along the way. It is one thing to say, now God, you know everything. Surely you know everything that I have left undone or I have tied up in more knots than I should have. But somewhere along the way, we have to come face to face with that ourselves. It is too easy to do the blame game. But you don't understand. I was placed in that situation, or I didn't seem to have any other alternative. And too many times in my own experience, I have tried to blame my sin on somebody else. But to take the opportunity to confess to ourselves, and to say without a shadow of a doubt that we find ourselves separated from God in that way. We also need to confess to those we have wronged. Along the way, there is an opportunity for us to make amends. For us to realize that we have not done it perfectly in the process of life, and that there is a confession that needs to be done in order to be released to go forward in God's grace. And ultimately, we need to confess to God, to the one that spoke us into existence. It is him and him alone that we stand before. I think David had it right in Psalm 51, after he was caught red-handed. And then he says, I have sinned against you and you alone, O Lord. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Baptism is not something that is just an outward sign. It is a recognition of what is being changed from the inside out. And so why did Jesus choose? This eternal purpose of God involved Jesus being baptized. What does that even mean? How did that even come to be? And so Jesus' baptism lined up with God's eternal purpose in these ways. It was, in fact, a moment of decision. He says, at this time and in this place, I am deciding to not let things be as they were, but it is now my time to enter into the stage of humanity and to take my place, not only in the annals of history, but into the very hearts of all those that will come after me. Jesus made a decision. And I often think in terms of our own baptism or our own time of confession, there has to be a place of decision. There has to be a time in which we say, we are going to decide. Sometimes that happens in a worship service or a special revival service or a special event that's happening. It could happen in your car driving down the road. The place is not what is important. The decision making is what, in fact, makes it a moment for us to be a part of this process of God's eternal purpose. It is in this journey that we see Jesus stepping forward, saying, I'm now going to set the trajectory onto not only a new path, but onto more of a complete path. One that also involved a moment of identification. It was in that setting that Mark gives us these words. He says, that the heavens opened up, and there was an opportunity where they heard an audible voice. It was like the Spirit descending on him like a dove. A voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. It was the moment of identification that Jesus is more than just another man. And can we still identify with that today? Sometimes it's very confusing. Well, what does that mean? How can he be all God and all man? We're talking about something that happened 2,000 years ago. I can't even remember what I had last Friday for dinner, let alone thinking about something that happened 2,000 years ago. And why does it still have significance to me? But we now also are identified with the one that not only went through the waters of baptism, but began to then fulfill all that had been spoken about him. He began his teaching, his ministry, his healing, the dispensing of love and grace that still happens to this day. In God's eternal purpose, there also becomes the moment of approval. It's when we hear that voice, you are doing well. And it's echoed to us through the pages of Scripture. And I hope you hear God's voice in everything that you do. You are my son. You are my daughter. I am not only very fond of you, I died so you could have life. And that your approval does not come in your performance. Your approval comes in the fact that you are willing to let God be God and to rule in your journey. We do seek approval. You know, we want to be validated in one sense or another. And Jesus did that in the greatest way. When we hear that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. His approval of us is guaranteed. And it's in that eternal purpose that I believe God still speaks to us as well. We are approved by him. You ever remember going to the bank and you're working on a loan of some sort, and there's this little red sticker that they use and it says, approved. What's the opposite of that? Yeah, denied or rejected. Yeah, we don't like that sticker, right? You know, but can you imagine? God has his approval sticker on each of us. He doesn't reject us. He doesn't deny us his love. The Father did not his Son, nor do the Trinity. Do they do that for us today? This idea of it was the moment of equipment. At the time the Holy Spirit descended upon him, there is a certain symbolism here. The Spirit descended as a dove might descend. It's no accident that we use that kind of language. The dove is the symbol of gentleness. But both Matthew and Luke tell us of the preaching of John. John's message was of the axe laid to the root of the tree, of the terrible sifting, of the consuming fire. It was a message of doom and not good news. But from the very beginning, the picture of the Spirit likened to a dove is a picture of gentleness. He will conquer, but the conquest will be the conquest of love. Jesus was equipped to go forward from that time on to do an earthly ministry, to go and handpick some of his disciples, to then preach to thousands of others in different settings, to touch the lives of those that were in need, whatever that need might be. God's eternal purpose involves equipping us as well. He will never ask us to go out and do something that we're not equipped to do. But the way he prepares sometimes seems counterintuitive. He doesn't always prepare the way that the standards of the world might prepare. It's not about our pedigree or where we've come from, how much education we may have. You know, some of those things are great things to achieve. But ultimately, God equips our hearts and our minds. He uses all that he has given to us for the building up of his kingdom. Today's the day when we recognize this baptism. We have our middle stained glass window over to my left is a representation of that. It's when something special occurred. How many times did Jesus get baptized? Yeah, it only took once. You know, that there it was an inauguration. Now, the other Gospels give us a little bit more background than Mark does. Mark really sort of hit the main issues and went on. You know, John says, I'm not sure why you're even here. You're the Lamb of God. To literally take away the sins of the world, what are you doing out here? But that's a part of God's eternal purpose as well. I'm not trying to go beyond or above any of the rest of humanity, but I'm setting the standard once and for all. That there is an entrance that we do into our new life. And that entrance does, in fact, flow through these waters of baptism. Baptism does not save us, but baptism becomes that outward sign. You know, Jesus was not saved when he went through the waters of baptism, but it became a pivotal juncture in his life and in his ministry, and it basically divided his childhood from his ministry. So as we head into this new year, may it be a time that we renew our dividing point. May it be a time in which we recognize these eternal purposes, that there needs to be a decision, that we want to be identified with being a child of God, that God's approval has lavishly been given to us, and that he no longer calls us friends. He no longer calls us acquaintances, but we are his family, and that he is equipping us, that he's preparing us for that next part of the journey that we are to be living in our life. Baptism and communion become recognition times for us. And every time we sit at the table, it should be a reflection on our baptism or on that time in which we decided to make a public confession of what has already been happening in our life. And may it be a time for us to remember Jesus wants us to go forward into this world. We've got neighbors that need to know the good news. We've got folks that we work with that are in the midst of despair and they don't know where to turn next. And may we be a part of the solution to share this amazing good news. God is still with us. He still has a plan and a purpose, and we get to go and serve him until he calls us home. May that be what leads us into this new year. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, we're thankful that Jesus has come to give so many examples, but to even recognize this morning of this example he has set through baptism, through a time in which he recognizes that there are moments in our lives that define who we are as well. May we always be mindful of your eternal purpose. You created us to glorify you, and we glorify you when we love one another, when we share your good news, when we realize this world is not about me, but about what I can experience and what I can be in your kingdom. Thank you for this opportunity of being in a community of faith. We thank you for those brothers and sisters that are here today, that we are on a journey together, one that has been in place down through just a few years. 1849, this journey started here in Philippi. And we are joining with others that have chosen this place and these people to be an extension of your love and your grace to a community that still needs to know who you are. We love you, Lord. In your most gracious and holy name we pray. Amen.